Welcome to Dive Deep. Today we're going to continue our conversation in our series, Love God and Love People, as we examine John's letters. Our goal in this podcast is to deepen your relationship with God and equip you to live out your faith in ways that change the community around you. Joining me in our conversation today is Pastor Arley. Welcome, Pastor Arley.
Hey, thanks, Caleb. Good to be here.
So, as we heard your message on loving people yesterday and putting that into action, it brought to mind the story of the Good Samaritan that we find in Luke 10, where we have an individual that's coming up to Jesus, and he's wondering, what do I have to do to get eternal life? Jesus says, well, love your neighbor as yourself. And he asks the question, well, who is my neighbor? Almost as if he wants to put boundaries on who he has to love. Mm. And then Jesus responds with the story of the Good Samaritan to act as a teaching lesson. What is it in us that wants to hold back from loving people? Why? What's at stake for us? And what do we see playing out here in this story?
There are several things to consider in regard to this. One is that the scripture says that it was an expert in the law.
Okay, and why is that significant then?
Because I think that those people who are experts are very legalistic.
Okay.
And they only want to do what the law tells them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus just blew them out of the water by telling them that the real person was not the legalistic person who got it right.
Mm-hmm.
It was a person you look down on that you don't even respect,
mm-hmm.
but because they had a bigger heart than you did, they did it, made a difference.
Hmm.
I think there is a legalism that is easier to follow than the Spirit. People like a checklist.
Sure. Makes it clear. And then I know whether my performance is matching up. Oh, especially with an American mindset. Not that this is any different, apparently, than 2,000 years ago.
Uh-huh. And so, they would go, boop, I did that, boop, I did that, but I'm good.
Right.
Where really Jesus was helping them to understand following Christ is not a religion, it's a relationship. Relationships are much harder. You can't just check off the boxes and say, okay, I got my wife flowers. Done.
I talked for 15 minutes. Done. I took out the garbage. Done.
I got her a card. Done.
Right.
Those are all great things, and they're all part of the process, but they're not boxes to check, because you need to feel that I'm having a relationship here. We experience it together. We grow. We learn each other. We do all that we can to serve one another. All those factors are a part of it. And they didn't want to go that route.
Right.
They just wanted to check the boxes.
Well, like you said, it's harder. And it makes me think of this term and idea that I know you've talked about before, and I don't know that I caught it in the sermon. You might have used it. Compassion fatigue.
Yeah.
Okay, so if there's not a checklist,
right,
then I'm called to respond to each circumstance on its own merit or individually or what prompting comes to me. Boy, how do I do that without burning out? How do I do that and still accomplish all the things I need to do in my life? How does somebody do that and know what they're called to or not called to do?
And I think that when you're checking boxes rather than listening to the Spirit, I think that's a big part of that whole process. I mean, compassion fatigue, we're bombarded with appeals all the time.
Right.
If I hear Sarah McLachlan one more time and see
SPCA,
yeah, wet-eyed cats and dogs who look so awful.
And we love animals. We're not saying don't support them.
I do.
But just
how
much can you
take? Obviously, I feed my squirrels and my chipmunk every day.
You do.
I love animals.
Uh-huh.
So that's not the issue at all. But the issue is, we are constantly bombarded by things that try to appeal to our emotions. And what we have to do is not base our giving, our work, and all that we do on our emotions.
Hmm.
We need to base them on the Spirit's guidance and leading. And so I always encourage people, not those impulse kinds of giving should be a part, nor should you do the impulse buying. You know, that's why they set all those things in that aisle. You know, like you go to TJ Maxx or Home Goods or whatever, they make you walk through a whole aisle of specialty items that they don't have any place else in the store while you're waiting in line. And how many people grab one more thing as they're walking through that?
Right. Or how about Target? You walk in and immediately you're confronted with those, like, those value buys right there on the right.
I know. Wow. And so the impulse, like, because that's the nature of who we are. But it's also exhausting when you follow impulses.
Mm.
And that's the whole nature of that compassion fatigue. You're hearing it too much. You're getting burnout by it. You're no longer sensitive to it because you've seen it over and over. And so the real picture is that we need to do pull ourselves away emotionally, give us some time to think about it, pray about it. If you still feel that same pull and that same kind of tug, then you respond to it and you respond out of a clear feeling and conscience that you're doing the right thing.
Mm. So do you think the spiritual warfare speaking, the enemy can manipulate that prompting to give, which may seem like a good thing, but it may not be what you're being called to act on?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking serving, we're talking all kinds ways that, like, yeah. And I think if we overcommit, we get exhausted and burnt out, and then we don't want to do anything.
Hmm.
Where if we can always look, we're not, this spiritual journey is not a sprint, it's a cross country. And if we can look at the fact that I'm gonna finish this race, as it's a scriptural term, but I'm gonna finish strong. And so I need to pace myself, mm-hmm. Pace myself in my giving, pace myself in my serving, pace myself. So, and I'm not talking about tithing. I mean, you know, that's like something we just do naturally, and it's just a reminder that everything we have is God's. But I'm talking about those extra things that we would give or buy or serve or do. You know, all of those things are paced. I think it's such an important part.
Yeah. It also makes me think of really that verse 21 and 22 in chapter 3, where it talks about, well, dear friends, if your hearts don't condemn you. So, you know, getting to a place where you're at peace with the decisions that you're making and how you're choosing to serve or give or invest in. And then it goes on to say we can have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. What does that mean for us on a practical level? What is the significance of not having a heart that condemns us and asking him for things, knowing that we're going to receive it? How do we do that?
What John is trying to direct us away from is dependence on feelings. I think that if we're not careful, we let our feelings guide and direct everything. And the realistic picture is, let's think about it. Did you do all that you could have done at that time? Yeah. But you feel like you could have done a whole lot more. Yeah. But did you do all that you could? Yeah. Okay. Then ignore the feelings. You can't let your feelings guide and direct you, or you'll shipwreck really easily. You have to come to a point where you know you've done what you could do. Then you have to let it go. I mean, there's all of this false guilt that can kind of surround us with, you know, you could have done more. You should have done that. But at the time, I did what I thought I could do, and I did the best I could. All right, then that's good enough. Let's go back there and let's cut that off. You know, and I think that's what he's saying, because he said, even if our hearts condemn us, you know, we need to be in a point and place where we can feel confident at the time. And sometimes we have to rehearse and go back and think through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because whenever we play something back, we always think, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that. And then we beat ourselves up and we live in guilt. And it's not needed. It's not needed. Did you at the time? I mean, as a parent, could I have been a better parent? I'm sure I could have. Now that I look at it, would I have done things differently? Oh, yeah, I would have. But did I do the best I could at the time? I did.
Mm-hmm.
And was I sincere about what I was trying to do? I was. Okay. Then let's stop beating yourself up. Let's not go there. Your heart doesn't need to condemn you. Let's let God, you know, give you and say, hey, good job. You did what was right.
Right. Yeah. And it's just fascinating as we look at what John's laying out here, this idea of how much love needs to go into loving God and loving other people.
Sure.
And then he makes this little pivot and kind of transition in talking about how our hearts can condemn us or not condemn us, and talks about this relationship with God. It just makes me think, you had mentioned guilt, and what came to mind for me was shame. How shame, you know, has been a thread of really distance in relationship ever since the fall.
Right.
I mean, they covered themselves up because they were ashamed, Adam and Eve did.
Right.
And shame's been there ever since, separating people in relationship. So this—
And hiding us from God.
Right. And so this idea of, boy, true love, maybe that's like being fully known, truly known.
Right.
And to really love other people, do we need to move to a place where they truly know us or we truly know them?
Well,
what are your thoughts on that?
And it says love casts out fear. We're going to talk about that later. So,
right.
You know, yeah, it's all part of that relationship of growing, learning, and knowing, and trusting, and building, and all of that.
Mm-hmm. And that demands a lot from a person to really be vulnerable.
Sure does. Sure does.
So really interesting. So you're going to talk to us about that coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we'll leave that as the teaser for this week. Well, any final thoughts as we wrap up today, Pastor Arley?
You know, I just think the challenge is always before us. And I think we've got to think about it not in a checklist of how do we love others, but think of it in a relationship. And as we pass people, as we work, no deed is too small. Just remember, they make a difference in the lives of those around us.
Well, thanks so much for your insight today.
Sure.
And thanks for joining us on CWC Dive Deep. If you value the time you've spent here today, join our mission to invest in others by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast wherever you might be listening. And join us next week as we continue the discussion on love God, love people. If you've missed past episodes, you can check those out at cwc.life. Have a great week.